Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our epistle reading is from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, it's been some time ago I shared with the congregation the seven toddler property laws. But if you've noticed in our conversation, there's been an influx of infants and toddlers here. So I thought I'd spin up this illustration again just for the sake of our new parents. And so here goes. Toddler property law number one. If I like it, it's mine. Two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Three, if I can take it from you, it's mine. Four, if I had a little while ago, it's still mine. Five, it's mine and it must never appear to be yours in any way. Six, if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. Seven, if it looks like mine, it is mine. Now, for those of you whose children are now grown, I'm going to test for you today, because that really doesn't apply to you anymore, right? But you remember the first three words that your first child learned when they began to talk? The first one was probably mommy, followed by daddy, and the third one you'll never guess. Oh, that's good. Never thought of that. Mine. Now, the second child that was born, they also learned three words. Mommy, daddy, and that's not fair. It's a wise parent who will allow one child to cut the pizza into pieces, then allow all the other ones to take their pieces first. Now, you realize that as younger children look at their older siblings, they often say the word, it's not fair. After all, the older child always gets to be the one to do stuff first. They get to stay overnight with friends, have a sleepover. They also get to learn how to drive a car first. They get to stay out later. They get to do all this cool stuff, and the younger ones have to stay behind and wait. And then as they grow older, the older brother or sister looks back at the younger siblings and says, you know, it's not fair, because I was much older when I got to do this, that, and the other thing. And so the reality is it doesn't seem very fair at all. And then you go off to school. And then you begin to realize that teachers do have their pets, and some kids get away with murder, and it doesn't seem fair. And then you get on an athletic team, and there's other kids on the team that you find are much slower than you are. They're not as athletic as you are. They slough off in practice and don't work hard, but yet they're on the field and you're on the bench. It just doesn't seem fair. And then you go off to work, and what do you find there? You work hard, you're there early, you stay late, and then there's always someone else who gets the raise or the promotion that everyone else says that you deserve. It doesn't seem fair. And then as you grow older still, there's people who have abused their bodies for years that are as healthy as the day is long. And I've watched my diet, I've taken all my proper medication and exercise, and I am physically suffering. It's not fair. Spoiler alert, life isn't fair. We don't all get ribbons, and we don't all get a start. And yes, there are teachers who have their pets, and yes, there are coaches that seem to start the wrong kids, but it's just the way life is. Take, for example, this morning in the epistle example. It's certainly not fair that Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, would have to become one of the creatures. It is not fair that he should suffer in any way, let alone undeservedly. It is not fair the way, it's not the way life is supposed to work. It is not fair at all. See, everything that we know about the way life works flies in the face of God's grace, His mercy, His love, and His forgiveness for us. And thanks be to Jesus for that. The inequality of Jesus' life began at the very moment of His conception. In the womb of a virgin. It only was compounded as the events of His life began to unfold that He would literally be born in a barn, in a stable, amongst the beasts of the field. That Jesus Christ would be wrapped in human flesh. That Jesus Christ would have to suffer. That He would have to go through a life of agony. During His earthly life, it describes the experience of Jesus' fatigue, His hunger, His thirst, His physical pain, His emotional grief, and all the things that He won't experience in the rest of all eternity, but He experienced them here on the face of this planet. This week, as we go through the rites of Holy Week, you will hear of all the other unfairness that takes place. Jesus was arrested for what reason? For telling the truth? Jesus would be mocked and flogged, and He would be mistreated, insults hurled at Him, spit upon, beaten. That Jesus Christ should die is completely incomprehensible. That Jesus Christ would die undeservedly is inexcusable. That Jesus Christ would die in an accursed manner is literally indefensible. But God would exalt Jesus. He would vindicate His own Son. On Easter morning, the tomb would be empty. And God would demonstrate once and for all that Jesus is not only holy and righteous, but He was right. He did not lie. His words were true. But how do we like to vindicate? We like to go rub it in their face. See, I told you so. But as you read through the account of the Passion and the post-Passion text, there's nowhere where Jesus comes and sticks at the Pilate, the chief priests, the elders, or the teachers of the law, or anyone else for that matter. Following the resurrection, Jesus' mistreatment and wrongful death deserved vengeance. In human thinking, not to avenge Jesus' death is unthinkable. From a purely human perspective, someone, anyone, has to pay. But you hear in the epistle lesson these words, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It will happen. Either before Jesus comes again, or on the day He comes, every knee will bow. Some will be out of adoration and praise and thanksgiving. For others, it'll be out of dread fear. But the reality is that every knee shall bow at Jesus and acknowledge Him for who He truly is as the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth. But the reality is that Jesus Christ wants no knee to bow in fear. Every bit of Jesus' life, His birth, His life, suffering, and death confronts you and me with the same question. It just doesn't seem very fair. At the same time, none of it is mind-boggling as we try to understand it. Reconcile these words. It just doesn't seem fair. He did it all for me. But it just doesn't seem fair. But He did it all for me. It was for me that Jesus Christ came. For me that he was born in a stable. For me that in humility he wrapped himself in human flesh. For me that Jesus Christ would suffer, that he would die, allow himself to be crucified for me. That he'd be placed in a tomb. That for me he would rise again. Today the call in the book of Philippians is for you to have the same attitude of Christ. Kind of a tall order, isn't it? To have such humility and to have such a thought that it doesn't matter about fairness. Only the truth matters. That's the attitude that we are to have. See, the fact of the matter is that we live in a world where many people are unaware or have not acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ did all of this for them. But you know that it just isn't fair that innocent Jesus should be found guilty of a crime that he never committed. It's not fair that he would suffer the death of a common criminal to be crucified by a death that even his own countrymen saw as dreadful. It's not fair that he would be ridiculed, tortured, mocked. It's not fair that Jesus Christ would have to die. It's not fair that everything that happened to him should have been done to me. You're right. It's not fair. But praise be to Jesus, by God's grace, it did happen. Have a blessed Holy Week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.